This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit, brought to you by the Two Birds on a Bat podcast from the Patio Studios and, of course, our good friends at InnovativeCompanies.com. My man, Randy Green, 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman, more importantly, man of his word. He's got all four teams underneath one umbrella ready to take care of you, heating and cooling, construction, electric, and now the plumbing team. Give them an opportunity for your business, residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. They've got you covered. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. Well, it's time for our Wednesday edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit, as I mentioned, where analytics meet the eye test. This is a fun time because right now what we're really doing is trying to take what's being reported. Let's be real frank here. We're taking what's being reported. We're taking what we see with our own eyes as far as needs are concerned. And then, and here's where this thing gets interesting, right? Like, this is all we can do is take facts. And what are the facts? As I said, we know we hear things, right? That's number one. Number two, we're not dumb. We look at our team that we love. We look at other teams if you follow it and you say, okay, well, this is what I think they're doing. Then you take what you think your team needs and you start going, okay, well, these are identified needs. Now, make no mistake that part three of this equation is where everything goes wacky. And that is, whether you want to believe it or not, your own personal preference and opinion will make you believe what your team should do, shouldn't do, what another team will do, and what another team won't do. We're seeing it every day. I have been victim to this myself and will continue to be. Why? Because I'm a fan. But make no mistake about this, and I've said it once, and I had some fun with my friend that I'm going to invite in here in a minute, but I had some fun with him last week and used him as an example. But I will use everybody as an example, all the way down to Derek Gould, Rick Hummel, Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler. I don't give a shit who you are. You don't know shit. Okay? You know what you think. You take information that is given you. Now, do some of those guys have the opportunity to actually speak to those guys? Yes, they do. Well, let me tell you something. You know who speaks to a guy buying a car? The car salesman. You think the car salesman really knows what those people are going to do? He does not. Now, he tries to manipulate it, and he tries to work it that way, but those are the actual people doing the buying. And the people that are buying are actually working with the seller. The truth of the matter is the only people that know for sure what they're willing to do, what they want to do, and where they're going is the Cardinals management staff themselves and the player and the agent. Now, we're not dumb. Okay, we know that players like money. We know they like to play in flashy places, whether they want to admit it or not. They want to play in towns. They also would like to win. But I don't know that it's but I don't know what order you're going to put it in, but you have got to say 99.9% of the time, money talks and bullshit walks. So let's be quite frank. Now, I wasn't being derogatory towards all these people, but the truth of the matter is we see something every day written by some guy just like me and you that says this is what's going on, and then all of a sudden it becomes a rumor. Okay? So I just want to have some fun with it, and I just want people to understand the context of where we come from. Anything we say on here is complete opinion. Even Benji Molina, who knows a whole lot more than he ever talks about on this show,
who's privy to, is never going to come on here and tell you what he knows, because that's the reason he does know what he knows. It's because he doesn't share it. Those people are never, ever, ever going to show their hand fully. They're just not. They wouldn't be good business people if they weren't. Let me tell you who does like to show things other than his hand, from what I understand, on his popular show,
yeah,
Prospects After Dark, as he's dying to get on here and say something I know, is everybody's favorite, Kyle Reese. What's going on, pal?
Hello, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm a little excited today, only because, you know, I see people saying they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and we're out on this and we're going to do this. And I'm sitting here going, how in the hell do you know? You don't know. So I just find it odd. It's just interesting to me that we take, and again, no disrespect to anybody. This isn't a disrespectful thing. This is a guy writes a blog, says that he thinks the Cardinals should do this, and all of a sudden, it's not 15 minutes later, I see somebody going, so it looks like this is the offer for, and I'm like, what? Okay, well, sounds good. I don't know. I think it's crazy.
Well, especially, you know, to your point about that, where if you read along on the Post-Dispatch Q&A with Hummel or Gould or any of the guys who do have more information than us average bloggers, some of the names that are being thrown around now as a potential trade piece that would go to Arizona for Goldschmidt aren't even remotely addressed. And, you know, Colton Wong is the newest one, that all of a sudden some person decided that Colton Wong would be an ideal fit for the Diamondbacks in a trade for Paul Goldschmidt, and the fan base is kind of running nuts with it, where, you know, everything you said is right. And definitely, to your point, people like Derek Gould, the context that they have might be leading them in a direction or not. We know that with John Heyman, and again, this isn't to bash John Heyman. We know that oftentimes someone like John Heyman gets information from Scott Boras or from other agents, and then they tweet out information from those agents in order to drive that the agent's player's market. Like, that just happens. That's a fact. I do think it's a little different on the local level. I don't think it's necessarily to that level. But I do think there's truth in what Mr. Gould is telling people in his live chats and on the radio with the names being thrown around. And I would anticipate that let me rephrase that. I would not anticipate any deal with Colton Wong, even if Jake Lamb's involved, even if Ketel Marte is involved. You don't really have to look any further than, especially with Jake Lamb. If they trade for Goldschmidt, that moves Carpenter to third, and thus negating the need for a platoon at third, that would be Jake Lamb, you know. And I get Carpenter would move to second and Wong go to Arizona, but that's not something that's just, it doesn't seem real to me, my own opinion, as you said. But again, try to sort out the noise during this season, you know, the noise that I bring, the noise that anyone else brings, and try to look at the consistent underlying currents and everything. That's, you know, if I could recommend anything, that's what I would recommend.
Well, do you ever notice that guys like Derek Gould, guys like Rick Hummel, they never put out an article that says, it looks like the package that's being offered is Colton Wong, dot, dot, dot. They never do that. Why do they never do that? Why do you think they never do that? They never do that because it's not factual, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why they never do that. Now, they will say, however, that, you know, that this is what the other team is looking for. This is the type of player. You know, if another team says, look, we're looking for starting pitching, young starting pitching, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to look who the young starters are for the Cardinals, okay? Derek Gould, Rick Hummel have a much better vibe from the St. Louis Cardinals on who the Cardinals are probably more apt to give up, so then you can start doing some deduction. But you'll never hear them guys say, like, you're not going to see Derek Gould, the package is believed to be Colton. You're just not going to see that. And the reason is because the St. Louis Cardinals aren't going to come out and say that. So if the St. Louis Cardinals aren't going to come out and say that, how in the hell is some guy, and again, I'm in this category, how is some guy in a 8x8 studio, okay, that isn't in the room with them supposed to know what in the hell it is? It's all guesswork. It's all, you know, I don't have to, listen, I can just throw shit out there against the wall because 95% of the time it never happens. So you just throw stuff out there and who cares? Now I will say this. I love to read the articles. I love to read the opinions. I just can't believe that in this day and age of quick information and everybody wants it fast and they want to hear what they want to hear, that we start taking it as factual so easily. And that's all I'm saying. Yep. I mean, I guess I actually enjoy it. It just kills me how many people go, oh, yeah, I would much prefer to hear your opinion. I would much rather prefer to hear all these people on Twitter, all even Derek Gould, Rick Hummel, Kevin Wheeler. I love the opinion of what they think we should do because it makes me think, especially if it's not what I think. But make no mistake, and I know you heard the intro, the third part of the equation is always the biggest part because we are fans. We want – look at Bryce Harper. Some people love him. Some people hate him. So the people that hate him don't want him. The people that love him can't understand how you can't want him. I mean, it's not even a business decision. It's not even a getting a better team. We don't need him. He's this. He's that. Well, you don't even know the guy. Oh, I know what I read. Well, I mean, haven't we in the last year, haven't we realized that what you read in the paper isn't always what is factual?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. With the Athletic, all you need to do is look at the Athletic story with Hudson and Norris. Well, Hicks and Norris, I mean. And, you know, to find out that sometimes even the information you think that you're getting that's factual from people that you trust might be slanted in a certain way for clicks, you know. So you can't always believe everything you read, even from the professionals.
You know, you look at Bryce Harper, he's an interesting case. I'm sure you remember the dust-up with Jonathan Papelbon. Well, I mean, does anybody know Jonathan Papelbon? I mean, did you hear what was said? Do you know what may have happened 3 weeks before? It's like, come on. You have no idea. No idea.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess what I'm saying is let's just have fun with our opinions, and it doesn't have to be so damn serious. And I don't know. I just find it interesting that it gets so passionate when you start disagreeing with people. It really does. It kind of floors me how passionate it can be just because it's the part three of the deal. Right? Because, again, I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to know what the Cardinals need. Do you? I don't think it takes, like, some great fandom. It doesn't take some great knowledge of underlying numbers and statistics. I think it's pretty easy to say, I think the Cardinals would be better if they did this. Would you not agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some people are dumb and think they need right-handed relief help, but the rest of us are pretty normal.
I knew you'd say something like that. Well, and that's the thing. So let's talk about stuff like that. So we see things as fans, right? And it's easy to put a blanket on it. So take, for instance, the bullpen. And I'm glad you brought that up. So you start taking the bullpen, for example. I saw something today that listed the 25 top free agents, and Bleacher Report, I think it put something out like where they are projecting everybody to go. I think you may have saw this. I think it projected the Cardinals to get Andrew Miller, Mike Moustakas, and Michael Brantley, which I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't get any of the three. But for some reason, we are linked to them. My guess is, and this is true, I do believe this, however, Bleacher Report is probably using an educated guess based on how the Cardinals operate and the money range they like to stay in. So that makes sense to some degree. You add in the fact that they technically need a left-handed reliever. You know, they don't like their situation here, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, you think, okay, I get it. I understand why they're saying this. Interestingly enough, there's one player in that whole thing that if it works out the way they say it does and we don't get him, I will be pissed off. And it's funny you said that. It's right-handed relief. If Jairus Familia signs a two-year, $18 million deal, 2 years, $18 million, with Minnesota, and we don't sign him for 2 years and $18 million, I will be pissed to high heaven. Because that's a guy that has closed and pitched in the eighth inning. And that really – and I know you like our young right-handed relief pitching, but here's a guy that's done it. He has done it, and he had a great strikeout rate last year. So,
you know my byline with all of this. My issue more is with the years of what you're bringing in. And if a deal like that happens, first off, holy cow – good for the Twins. And I would probably be on the same boat with you. I would think, oh, that's definitely more than reasonable, especially years for a player that is that good. But, you know, that's where I get in trouble with the Ottavino and Joe Kelly thing. Everyone always talks about Adam Ottavino and Joe Kelly. Why don't they sign them? Well, a lot of times you look at the projections, and if you're going what's projected, you're talking about 3 or 4 years for these guys who have not exactly, like, Ottavino has the best slider I've ever seen in my life. It's enjoyable to watch. Joe Kelly's a fun, entertaining player, but they both have ebbed and flowed, done the whole ebb and flowing thing throughout their entire career for the most part. There are times when Ottavino looks like he's the best pitcher in baseball, reliever or otherwise, and there are times when he's bad. We saw it in the playoffs. He struggled a little bit. And same thing with Joe Kelly. Like, Joe Kelly looked good in the playoffs, but there's times when he can't locate either of his pitches. He can dial it up 100, anyways, I only bring that up because we're talking about 3 or 4 years of these players. I'd rather just roll with what we have and be committed to 3 or 4 years at $5 or $6 million for that type of player. But when you get to that situation where maybe you can get a Yuri Familia for, 2 years at less than $20, and yeah, I'm all about that. I'm all about just being smart about it. And to me, when you sign a relief pitcher who has already gone through years of being abused as a relief pitcher, even if they've been handled carefully, I hate anything more than 2 years. So I turn my back on that pretty quickly. And then the other thing real fast, and I know we're going to get into Goldschmidt and the potential and all that, but, you know, my current thoughts about the bullpen on the right-hand side are all dependent on keeping the guys that you have. And to me, I'm fine with Dakota Hudson playing an important role in the Cardinals' bullpen moving forward, but if he or Daniel Ponce de Leon end up being one of the players traded to Arizona for Paul Goldschmidt, then that changes how I view the Cardinals' bullpen, like especially those two. If one of those two are dealt, then I definitely still believe they need help in the bullpen on the right side. So that's just to kind of cover that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And like I said, this is for me, and I'm the same way. If somebody was going to give Jairus Familia 4 or 5 years and pay him to be a closer right out of the gate or something like that, I would think that'd be a team. That would, in my opinion, to be quite frank, that would be paramount to what we did with Dexter Fowler. But I will say this, however, to be honest, if the Cardinals decided to go all in on Jairus Familia and give him a 4-year deal because that's what they had to do to get him, I will say this, and let me be real honest here. Remember when the Cardinals signed Dexter Fowler? I had said on this show, that seems like the biggest reach in the world to me. And the reason it's a big reach for me is that while he's not bad, if you look at his career, and I don't know where people got all of a sudden that he had these good seasons, he wasn't great to begin with. So what are you really getting that you're banking on for 5 years? That's why the whole bounce back thing for me, if you're going to take a chance on a bounce back to what? Bounce back to being an average player at best? That's my point on the whole thing. That's my opinion. So Jairus Familia, though, however, at one time was dominant. And after dealing with a little bit of an injury, I think last year shown that he's awfully good. So my point is when you're going to take risks, and I believe this, if I'm going to take a risk on a guy, I'm going to take a risk on a guy that has shown potential to be great. Do you not agree with that, at least, that if you're going to take risk, take risk on great, not good?
Well, who is – okay, so I was a whiny little bitch on Sunday when I did Prospects After Dark. And part of it was because I was sober all last week, which was a disaster, and it'll never happen again, I promise my fans and the followers.
Well, they appreciate your promise, I'm sure.
But even like last week, as we talked about Josh Donaldson, you talk about a one-year deal – if you're going to take a chance and pay somebody a bunch of money, you might as well do it on a one-year deal, and you might as well do it with somebody who is more talented than any other player that you can get at that contract. So I am totally on board with your thoughts there.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, so if you had to ask me, and again, this is a great example. The player that had come to the Cardinals was Moustakas, and I think it was 2 years, and I think it was either 16 or 18. It might have been $16 million per year, okay? So this is a great example of what I'm talking about. I would, out of 100 times, I would 100 times give Josh Donaldson $25 million. And you notice how I said 25? Because you would have had to give him more. Okay. I would have given Josh Donaldson $25 million for 1 year, 100 times versus 0 times given Moustakas 2 years at $16 million. Exactly. In fact, I'll say this. How about this? What is 16? $32 million. I would have given Josh Donaldson $32 million for 1 year before I would have given Mike Moustakas $32 million for 2 years.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Now, that's why I saw the Familia thing. I just thought was interesting. I've said this 100 times too. Everybody, this Michael Brantley thing is interesting to me. Let me say this. I'm going to say this. If the St. Louis Cardinals are to get Paul Goldschmidt. Okay, I think that's a great move for them. I know people don't like Carpenter playing third. I have really warmed up to this. I am blown away at Paul Goldschmidt splits. I saw somebody today bitch about Paul Goldschmidt going, I had kind of said the same thing and then realized I was wrong, so I went back and did some homework. I thought this guy today said, you can't believe how good his splits are away from Arizona.
Yeah.
So that being said, now he plays in some good parks, some bad parks. So But my point is, you can't believe how good they are. So that being said, while doing so, I mean, I just realized looking at this guy's stats that this guy is a hitter. Now, I know so was Albert Pujols, okay? And people say, well, look how he declined. Whatever, that's fine. But we have to take some risks. That being said, if Paul Goldschmidt is the way we go, because I'm telling you this as I sit here today, you cannot come out of this next month without either Paul Goldschmidt or Bryce Harper. If you do not, and you don't have some, well, Machado too, but I don't even know what is going on with him. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't come out with one of those guys, I think you're in big trouble. Now, they could prove me wrong and win, and I'd be happy. And I'd love to be wrong if they're good. But what I'm saying here is, if you sign Paul Goldschmidt, I'm going to say this, and I hope people understand this. If you were to then go out and get Michael Brantley and find a way to get rid of Dexter Fowler, you would be really, really good. Because I'm here to tell you, you bat Michael Brantley, because you still don't have a number two hitter. You may think you do, but you don't. Am I wrong? You don't have a number two hitter on this team.
Yeah, not a traditional one. A traditional one.
Harrison Bader's not going to hit two for you. I'm sorry.
No.
It's not going to happen.
You know, I've seen people recommend putting him ninth. And I think that's kind of interesting. To me, I quantify him as back of the order.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, not a traditional number two hitter. But it's worth going back and seeing just how good offensively the Cardinals were before Yadi got hurt and had to move out of the two spot, and you had Carpenter one and Yadi two. Like, I'd live with that. I'd be fine with that if you had Goldschmidt three,
sure,
and Ozuna four. Well, and you know, yeah, a lot of people would tell you to put Goldschmidt second and then Ozuna third, and then arrange the rest of the lineup that way. That's still not something, like, that's like one of the one new age things that I haven't been able to like fully accept, hitting your old school three hitter second because he's the best hitter. Like, I still haven't been able to accept that. But you could still get creative with the lineup, is all I'm saying.
Yes. I would say so. Way too many strikeouts from certain guys that people want to bat second. You just can't have it.
Yeah.
You just can't have it. You know, it just can't happen. I want to hit on a couple things. I want to talk about Goldschmidt, the possibilities, where you see it going. I want to touch on a couple more guys. Before we do that, though, so I want you to start thinking a little bit about your end of where, how the Cardinals sit. Before we do that, I want to remind everybody, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show there. It's free. We're getting new listeners to this Bow Ties and Bullshit weekly. People really enjoy it. And I'm glad we did it. I love the format. Even though today it's just going to be me and Kyle. Brennan's teaching today. Mo's algorithm was called into an all-day meeting when he got to work this morning. So just me and you, big dog. But I'm enjoying it very much. I hope you guys are as well. Again, that's twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show there. Do your Amazon shopping for Christmas. We'd appreciate it very much through the website. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. If you're a Cardinal fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. We're interested in what you have to say. Our big push is always Facebook. Go to Facebook, type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. We'd love to have them all be a part of it. Typically, the shows are Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. The wintertime, things get a little hairy. But typically, the shows are pinned by 5 o'clock. If you would like, whenever you see a pinned post, basically, like it, throw a comment on it, and share it, and you're eligible for the prizes that we're giving away over the offseason. Autographed baseballs, things of that nature. Once you've done all three, you're qualified, and you can do it. Every time you see a pinned post, make sure you've done all three, and every time you do it, you're qualified. Happy to do that as well. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. Follow us there. Also find us at lineupmedia.fm, home of many numerous podcasts and the new digital live streaming platform, Yo Radio. Download it on your mobile device. It's free. You guys are going to enjoy it. New stations coming online all the time. Just got the – I've been teasing some stuff that we're working on. I'm starting to work on it right now. I'm looking forward to, hopefully – I'm fairly confident we're going to have a Cardinal station for next season that people can listen to round-the-clock podcasts from all their favorite ones and be able to catch them here and get people involved and just kind of have some fun with it. So that's what I'm working on. That's kind of letting the cat out of the bag. I'm working on the back office part of that right now. So we're just going to move forward with it. And I've got some great people that want to be a part of it. And Kyle Reese, I believe, and
yeah,
some of the other gang. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're hoping to have that up and running by spring training. So that being said, find it. Again, you just download it on your mobile device. It's free. Want to thank all of our partners, Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. Adam Smokehouse owes Kyle a free lunch, which he and I just need to figure out. Probably my guess is going to be when he has some time off over the holidays, maybe. But we're going to get over there. We'll do some Facebook Live stuff, get Kyle his barbecue. Of course, I'll have mine. We'll introduce Mike. Love to have everybody be a part of it. We'll invite people down to have some lunch with us. We can talk some baseball. That's Adam's Smokehouse on Watson Road. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, open till 7. Now available for delivery to certain area codes. Just give them a call. And, of course, for all of your parties and holiday events, or, and if it's even not that stuff, they're catering second to none. Gators Baseball Academy, home of Missouri Gators, Illinois Gators, and now the actual baseball academy for the prep players. Again, as I mentioned, located in Missouri and Illinois. If you go to GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, you're going to see all the new clinics, all the new classes, camps, all the things that they got going on, especially with the holidays coming up. You're going to want to do that. Or if you're looking for a new place for your son or daughter to play baseball or softball, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Okay, my man. So, news just came out. Paul Goldschmidt, it looks like, and this is, you know, Bob Nightingale gets a rap that he's earned. But this kills me. He's reporting that the Cardinals are not going to be allowed to have a Sunday. This isn't a rumor. This is like something that the Diamondbacks decide. So he's actually reporting a fact here, unless he's completely lost his mind. So I take as fact. This isn't him saying, I don't believe the Diamondbacks. He is saying the Diamondbacks are not going to allow it. So I would have to believe the man at his word. I mean, he'd be a complete buffoon to type something in that fashion if it was his opinion. That being said,
real fast though, it is something he has actually done, and I only mean that to be like, it is actually something that he did. He did it just yesterday, saying that the Phillies would not be outbid for Patrick Corbin, and now.
Well, no, he said the Phillies said that, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's not. I mean, it's still the same kind of thing to me. You know,
yeah. Maybe it's just me. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I'll say this. I take that as he is just telling us what they're telling him.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever. But my point is, the reality of it is, how often do you ever even hear about this happening anyway? Because here's the problem, and this is what people don't understand. That's a bad. If you allow that window. If you're the Diamondbacks, you are really rolling the dice that you're going to get an extension done. Because if you don't, I promise you this, if the St. Louis Cardinals go to Paul Goldschmidt and say, look, we got a trade in place, 72 hours. This trade is contingent on you agreeing to this contract. So we're giving up these prospects. And here's what we want to offer. And the Diamondbacks come back and go, are you crazy? We're looking for 7 years. And the St. Louis Cardinals are like, okay, well, wait a minute. What if we did? And nope, 7 years. Well, no, I mean, what if we? Nope, 7 years. We want this to be his last contract. The St. Louis Cardinals are sitting there going, okay, well, all right. They go back to Arizona and say, well, now that deal's off the table because he wouldn't agree to the extension. Here's our new deal. And since we know he wants 7 years, we're not going to give you anything of value.
Yeah.
It's a bad play for the team to allow it to happen. The only way it's ever happens is if that team is confident that extension is going to happen. And they're not dumb. They know he's going to be 32. They know what he wants. They're not. The whole reason they're trading him is, one of the reasons is they know what he wants. So it's a bad play for them. So I don't know why this really surprises anybody. I mean, am I crazy here?
No, I think, again, we all have our expectations about some of these deals, and I think that's probably why people thought that, oh, they might be able to get Goldschmidt, and they might be able to get him signed after before he's even traded, and then it's all rainbows and sunshine after that. But no, that makes sense to me. If I'm in any team's position, I'm not granting that 72-hour window. And I believe the Orioles were in the same position. But it was pointless to even ask because everyone knew Manny Machado was going to go to the free agent market. It doesn't seem like that's how it's going to be with Goldschmidt. But I only bring it up because, no, there's no way. There's no way because if the guy doesn't agree to the damn contract, then just like you said, there's no incentive to continue to try to pursue that player. Like there is, makes your team better in the short term, but then you don't have that leverage. You know, the team, like the Diamondbacks in this position, lose leverage to get the maximum return back. So yeah, I don't understand the 72 window thing. I really don't. Nonetheless, the prospects that you're potentially getting back are so good that you think, all right, look, I'm hosing this other team. I'm hosing the Cardinals, and I'll give them anything they want on the off chance. That's enough to get me this amazing package. Like that's the only way that I would ever do it.
Yeah, like last year, Miami allowing the teams to court Stanton. They had to allow that. Well, yeah. It's pretty simple. I mean, they loved the packages they were getting back. They knew that if they could do the math here, if they could have gotten the St. Louis Cardinals to, and this is a fact, we know this, if they could have got the Cardinals to talk him into coming here, they would have gotten a better package from the Cardinals than they wound up getting from the Yankees.
Yeah.
They wound up not getting a great package from the Yankees because that was it. It was exactly what some people had said. They were moving that contract come hell or high water, and Stanton had all the leverage. And he knew it. Very simple. Very, very simple. And again, I would have loved to have had Stanton. I think we just need a guy. I've become more in on Paul Goldschmidt. I'm going to ask you your opinion. If we are to get Paul Goldschmidt, I think, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to put the trade pieces together that are logical. I'm not saying it couldn't deviate one way or the other, but judging by what you've heard and by what you would believe and these guy types of players get traded for, wouldn't you have to believe we're looking at a Dakota Hudson-type player and then probably some guys that haven't been in the major league level quite yet?
Yeah, the two names that seem to get thrown around along with Dakota Hudson are Tyler O'Neill and Carson Kelly. Like, those are the two names that I see more than anything. Dakota Hudson's a good starting point for sure. And that's, like, this is where it ends up getting dicey. It gets dicey for me because, obviously, a deal centered around Dakota Hudson and Carson Kelly and maybe one inferior pitching prospect a couple rungs down, maybe someone like Connor Jones, who profiles best as a relief pitcher, but throws a really heavy two-seam fastball that might be able to get some starter innings. Maybe he's the third piece. And that's a really, really solid trade. But when you start getting into like Dakota Hudson and Tyler O'Neill and additional pieces on top of that, even the marginal talent, that's when it becomes like really interesting because of potential and control involved in that. But if we're just talking like real simple, Dakota Hudson, Carson Kelly, and another prospect, I'm very much down for that. I love the way it sounds. It's perfect. Like you said, I was so in the mind frame of getting Josh Donaldson to fix that third base, and I'm still very, very worried about Matt Carpenter over at third base on the regular, but I can make it all work. Like, in my mind, I can make it all work, and I'm very much on board for Paul Goldschmidt. He makes the lineup better. He's a fun player to watch. Like, you know, he's big, and he hits for power, and that's fun and everything, but he's also just, like, a really exciting and fun player to watch. So that's another cachet thing. That's really important. So just fundamentally, am I down for Paul Goldschmidt as the St. Louis Cardinal? Yes, absolutely. He makes the team better. In my mind, the way I look at it is he makes them, instead of an 88-win team, you know, a team that is returning nearly all of their players from last year when they won 88 games, it turns them into like a 90-win team. Like, that's to me, that's like the realistic expectation of the impact Paul Goldschmidt can have on this particular roster.
Yeah, I look at all the different availabilities and all the different options that are out there. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, how does this guy rank? Like, as far as how I see them impacting the St. Louis Cardinals. As always, we find out that the St. Louis Cardinals aren't the only team interested in these players. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's why I tweeted something last night. On another player is like, what is going to make, like Arenado, and that was the guy I used, right?
Yeah.
What in the world makes you think this Arenado thing next year is going to be any different than this? Why?
Yeah.
I don't understand. So my point is this, and I love when people bring this up, and I say, okay, so you have this opportunity this year to do this. You take your best shot at the bird in hand, right, versus the one in the bush, because, like I said, so you're telling me right now that what you would do is, you would not offer the most money to Bryce Harper, but you would offer the most money to Arenado. So is it that you don't like Harper, or do you think it's a money or a bad deal? Because let me tell you something. Next year with Arenado, it's going to be the same thing. Somebody's going to have to offer him a 10-year, I don't know, 10-year, but somebody's going to offer him a buttload of annual AAV. Somebody's going to have to do that to get him. So if we're not going to do it now, why do you think we would do it next year? So you're telling me next year is going to be the year that we're going to go, yeah, we're going to pay him whatever it costs. If it's $40 million, it's $40 million. I mean, you can't – I don't understand that thinking.
Yeah, and it's. I'll tell you what, from a national spotlight, you know, the Cardinals every year end up getting a competitive balance pick you know, like a compensation pick. And it's not because of a player involved. It's because technically they qualify as a mid-market team by baseball's guidelines. So the Cardinals always, every year they get an extra pick. It's usually in the Group B, which is after the second, or I believe it's after the second round before the third round. And the reason is this very, very reason. Like, when you look at the Cardinals, you think they make a ton of money, and that's absolutely true. But from a market standpoint alone, and I know that our audience is more Cardinal fans than anything, and I wish we could say this too, the national fans. But the reason the Cardinals fit into that is this very reason. They, without hurting their overall, and again, you and I both know that they can spend all the money in the world. Like, we know that. We know that. But they're not going to. So that right. kind of precludes them from the top-tier free agents. That's just how it works out. But, and because they're competitive every year, they don't have the prospects to trade. Like, a team like the Astros still has, from years of being really bad, although they've been really good for the last 3 years, they still have those prospects because they drafted them super young, and they're hitting their sweet spot now. So when you read the Nightingale tweet and he says the Cardinals won't get the 72-hour window, Astros are still involved in this, like, that's a big red flag to me, because the Astros are in a better position to give away prospects. And at that point, like, if they have to give away three prospects, that puts them at the level of where the Cardinals are at from an organizational standpoint, talent-wise, at the minor league level. So that's why the Cardinals are a mid-market team. They continue to be good, and that hurts their ability to go out and trade for players, where teams that are bad have a larger stockpile to be willing to trade for the players that they need. And they, you know, the Cardinals don't spend money because they believe in proportionate spending to how much money they're bringing in regards to what other organizations are bringing in. So, yeah, that's it to your point. This thing is far from over. Sure, the Cardinals might not have the 72-hour window to negotiate with Goldschmidt if the trade ends up being agreed on. But, again, we've seen this one too many times where another team sweeps in. And when I see the Astros name there, that could just be, you know, the Diamondbacks feeding Mr. Nightingale information to try to increase the price and try to get more out of the Cardinals. But that's a real threat. Like, the Astros have better prospects that are actually more appealing in a lot of ways to what the Cardinals might be able to offer, and depending on major league readiness, of course.
I look at the whole thing and think, okay, so the lesser roadblock is to sign the free agent, right? Because that's all he costs is money. But the obligation, yeah. The obligation is just money. I don't know. I can't help but think you could obviously control your own destiny by signing the guy with the most money. But we get back to the whole term and the amount of money being spent. And let's be quite frank, it really comes down to what do you think your organization sits today and where is it going? And you kind of mentioned this, and I guess where I'm going with this, I'm kind of trying to find the right words. I think we actually mentioned this last week. The Cardinals are kind of at a situation where they got a few guys that are all kind of the same, and they're all in the same time window. I mean, think about the young pitchers. Now, everybody loves this, right? They love to sit here and talk about this. And I'm going to throw another guy in there who, this will tell you how volatile young pitching are, folks, because let me say this first, and then I'll come back. I want everybody out there listening to remember, at this time last year, we never had one conversation without bringing up how Luke Weaver was going to be a stud and how the Cardinals should not trade him. I hope it's not Luke Weaver. I hope it's not Luke Weaver. I hope it's not Luke Weaver. I mean, am I wrong?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. We're not even now looking at Luke Weaver being enough to put in a package to get Paul Goldschmidt for 1 year. So yeah. I want everybody to understand how volatile unproven players are, even players that come out and do it for a few months. This is why, when you have an opportunity, I'm not talking about going out and getting a maybe guy. I'm not talking about going out and getting a complimentary guy. I'm talking about going out and getting a dude. You will you trade that prospect every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Yeah, especially the potential prospects being thrown around, you know.
I listen.
It'd be really nice. It'd be really nice if they could trade Dexter Fowler, wouldn't it?
Oh my God! So think about that. So now think about this. Okay, if the Cardinals have to move a young starting pitcher, well, where does it come from? It comes from a pool of talent. So, you have to put Luke Weaver in there because, just as I just said, he had an awful year last year after everybody thinking he was going to be a dude the year before. it isn't like he's incapable of bouncing back, right? Like, we know that. So you have Luke Weaver, you have Austin Gomber, you have Ponce de Leon, you have Dakota Hudson, you have Jack Flaherty. That's five guys, all relatively at about the same juncture in their major league career as far as being on a major league roster. Okay? You tell me, in the history of baseball, when a club has had all five guys like that work out and be great starters for you. How often does it happen? Mm-hmm. We've went through it with multiple clubs. Oh, my God, have you seen the five the Mets have? Oh, my God, have you seen the five they got? Have you? And it never works out. It never does. Guys don't live up to the billing. Guys get hurt. Guys do this. So, again, the Cardinals have a bulk of guys. Now, some guys move to the bullpen, too. And you've mentioned that their roles might be better fit for the bullpen. I don't know. I'm not a pitching coach. I don't know if a guy transcends more. I've said for 1,000 years that I think Michael Wacha would be a great bullpen pitcher. But then every time you start seeing that, he goes out and he throws six innings and gets people out. You know, I think a bullpen guy traditionally is a two pitch guy. Starters, you like to have three pitches. You know, I don't think Wacha has 3+ pitches. I think he has 2+ pitches and one okay pitch. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I fail to believe that he throws the curveball as much as these numbers say. I think he threw it more last year, but the year before somebody told me he threw it like 20% of the time, and I'm like, there's no way that's accurate.
Yeah, that's inaccurate. He steers away from it, but he is his most effective when he's throwing it. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I don't know what they're going to do. You mentioned Carson Kelly earlier. I think it was interesting. I saw my friend Rick Strickland post some stuff with Carson Kelly because he's working with him this offseason. He looks like he's going through a swing change to me.
He does.
Yeah, did you see it?
He did that last offseason too.
Yeah.
Yes, this will be the second year in a row he's gone through a major swing change.
Last year, from what I saw, it looked to me like they were trying to get rid of the bowed arm or the locked-out arm. And this year, it looks to me like he's trying to control the over-rotation and pulling off the ball. That's what it looks like to me.
Without a doubt, this year in particular, yeah, that over-rotation, that pulling off the hips, like the hip explosion way too early, it looks like that's cleaned up quite a bit.
His finish that I saw, I mean, he wasn't finishing all the way around his body. It looks, you never know how these things are going to take, but it is amazing how many of these guys, you know, to go to these swing gurus and they try to find. I mean, the league's littered with great stories of guys that were just average, and then all of a sudden they went somewhere and said, "Well, I'm going to tell you why you're doing what you're doing. I'm going to show you what you're doing, and I'm going to show you what you should be doing." You know, it's funny too. I saw a thing. I don't know if you saw it the other day. Guys were talking about what did all these great hitters do back in the day before they had all these. It was a great conversation that I jumped on. This was part of my actual baseball training show that I do. I told somebody, I jumped in it, and I said, well, I'll tell you what's interesting is I've been to hundreds of these types of things, right? And I'm around some of the best in the world. I mean, Justin Stone, Rick, these guys are some of the best in the world at what they do. Bob Tewksbury, you know, Kevin Wilson, these guys are the best in the world at what they do. If you ever go and watch what they do and when they're learning and they're trying to, I think this is unbelievably interesting. Anytime they're trying to get better and they're trying to start doing things, they always wind up going back to some of the great hitters. And what they're trying to do is figure out what made them great. How did they get to where they got? And then you start escalating into the new age because the pitching's getting even better, right? Like, let's face it. People talk about, oh, they're trying to hit more home runs. Listen, the pitching is so much better than it used to be. Strikeouts are going to be up no matter what you do because the pitching is great. Everybody seems to forget the average fastball, the slide, all the advent, this stuff is all going to make the strikeouts stay up, okay? The pitching up in the zone now, which used to be, oh, you can't do that. Now we know about spin rate on fastball. So my point is, I love, though, I'm sitting over there and watching Ted Williams, watching Babe Ruth, and say, dude, watch this. This is amazing. You shouldn't be able to do it. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, this is why. You get flat and you turn, you rotate, you get the bat in the zone. And then they start saying, okay, now we're going to take all this and now we're going to make you even stronger and more athletic than those guys even were because they didn't have access to the stuff that we have. And that's what I think is amazing. People act like you go to these places and these guys go, well, those guys weren't any good. They didn't know. That's not what they're doing. What they're doing is they're saying, yeah, these guys were the greatest and we're trying to figure out why they were great.
Yeah, it's the same stuff you did when you were a kid, right? You'd watch Ken Griffey as a left-handed hitter. I would, and I'd say, oh, I want to swing like Griffey. But then what would happen in the game? You wouldn't hit like Griffey. You wouldn't go back to watching your own swing. You wouldn't go back to watching Griffey's. You would just augment from there until you found something that worked. And, you know, when you're the premier athlete with premier hand-eye coordination, you make the best of that. It's more complicated than that, but it can be that simple. So that's why hitters were great back then. They were great. That's just how it works out, you know?
Well, what's interesting to me is that the number one thing you see is about kids, and people say, well, you know, you see kids trying to swing it the right way, they call it the new way. And I'm always like, well, the problem is the correct way really is really tough on kids because they're not strong enough yet. So what they wind up doing is swinging and missing a lot, just like a pro does. And they wind up or striking out, but they also wind up hitting a lot of fly balls because they're just not strong enough to drive the ball the correct way. So what happens is you get all these cowboys out there that go, that's wrong. Now, and all your best hitters, typically at a young age, they don't swing the bat the right way. You know, they swing on top of it, and they swing around their body, and they're just stronger and more athletic, and they overpower 95% of their competition. And it's just interesting to me, that argument, and I've noticed that for a long time, and it's just something I've seen. Now, you know, you have certain guys that are just athletes and can do lots of things, but let's face it, I mean, most of these professional players, they've got a lot of that going for them. They're unbelievable athletes. They're off the charts athletic. They are so strong and so in control of their body that it's crazy. So to watch a guy, and this is kind of where I was going full circle with Carson Kelly, I think it's amazing for a guy to be that talented and that athletic to be able to do the things that you want to do. So it's just as interesting to me how this whole thing plays out. But I do find it funny, though, that if I watch in what Carson Kelly's doing every day, right? Now, if he comes back this year and has a good offensive year, who will get the credit?
The
new guy.
Well, probably Yachty. No, I'm joking.
No, the new guy. The new guy, right?
Yeah, it'll be Albert, Jeff Albert.
Yeah, he'll get the credit, but I've been watching him hit with Rick every day. Building this swing. I just think it's funny. I find it funny.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this guy's not going to be great. Every guy I know thinks this was a great hire for the St. Louis Cardinals because anybody that in the organization that will trust him and just the everyday stuff that he's going to give them, they say is off the charts. Off the charts. But make no mistake about it, folks. Every one of these guys is somewhere in this country or in this world building a swing for this upcoming season with somebody else.
Oh, God, yeah.
I just think it's funny. Anyway.
It's true. But, you know, Stephen Piscotty would do it. You know, I have a big gripe with Piscotty because after that first year that he came up and kind of lit the Cardinals on fire and was the only really good offensive player in that series against the Cubs, he, you know, the Cardinals had like a home run deficiency or whatever. I forgot what it was, but he changed his swing. He worked all summer and all winter, or he worked all winter rather, to get his swing in line with more, like a more athletic swing, I think is what it was. And it got off to a good start, and then, you know, he struggled down the road. And then he wanted to incorporate more power after that. And then he just kept swinging and messing, and it just messed with his natural swing. And now he's back to a more natural swing for him. But to your point, like, even the most accomplished and acclaimed players are right now working on little tweaks to their swing so they can be the best player that they can. That's a professional. That's why they're professional.
Oh, yeah. I think it's, I find it amazingly interesting. I know there's a guy that had done some stuff. I don't know where his affiliation is 100% now, but I know there's a guy that's associated with the Gators Baseball Academy. Either he gave lessons there or he's part of it. I don't know the whole story yet as I'm just getting to know those guys. But, you know, that was Aaron Judge's guy. I mean, Aaron Judge in New York, here's this guy over here. And it's like just a guy, you know, just a guy that has these amazing opinions and amazing thoughts. Listen, at the end of the day, some of it, too, is communication. Like for some reason you're comfortable with a guy, you get it, you're able to work with it. And make no mistake about this too, folks. When you're in the off season, the ability to go hit with somebody every day and just focus on that and not have to play games, not have to put together a hitting plan, not have to look at video of the opposing pitchers, it's a great thing, man. And you talk about comfort, you know, like I said, you go over there, you don't know, I mean, you're going to see Benintendi. I mean, you know, he comes into town and does this in the winter it's amazing to see it. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, here's some of the best players in the world, and here's this guy here in St. Louis, and that's who he hits with. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
And it's across baseball. This isn't just this is every guy. You know, like I said, Stone and them guys will tell you, I've got a list of guys. Some of them don't really care, but some of them I absolutely cannot. I just got a story last night from a guy when, I'll just say the name of the team, when the Mets were in town, he met with that guy at Hitzwood Judge, and he met him, and he brought his bat with him. He left the hotel,
awesome.
And when he come back to the hotel, he couldn't take his bat back with him because they weren't allowed to do that. So the way he got away with it was, well, I'm taking a bat to give it to somebody. So he'd tell this guy, just give it to somebody because I'm not allowed. My organization does not allow me to do this. Other organizations, like when I had talked to Tewksbury, he had said that the Toronto Blue Jays, unlike other organizations, were appreciative of what he was doing. Whereas he said, I'm going to tell you that there's other organizations that when I fly into town, we have to go to some high school and it's completely under the radar. Some teams are like, we don't want to know about it. Just we know you're doing it, but we don't want to know about it. We're trying to discourage this, but because some guys are using Yahoos or whatever. I'm telling you, it's a big thing. And if people want to bury their head in the sand and act like it's not, they're crazy. Because it goes on every day.
Yeah.
I promise you, at any given time in St. Louis, when another team comes into town, there's at least 2 to 3 guys that do this for a living that are in town staying at a hotel, paid for by the player, paid to the travel, and the whole time they're in here, they're meeting in the morning at some high school or at some facility, and they're working with that player. It happens every day.
That's so awesome.
And I think it's just, and if you ever have the opportunity to watch it like I have, it's amazing because they are so different than even the highest level college guys. It's so amazing. The sound of the ball coming off their bat in the cage is unreal. You find out real quick why they're special. I mean, it's amazing. It really, the sound of the ball coming off Andrew Benintendi's bat, it sounds like it's coming out of a cannon.
Yeah, that's great.
It is insane. So just amazing stuff, man. I love this. I could talk about this stuff all day. As we finish here, and I know you're probably rolling here, I just got to ask you, if you had to guess, and again, this is purely a guess based on what we're hearing, so let's be honest with ourselves. Doesn't it really sound like it's Goldschmidt?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I felt like after Donaldson signed with the Braves, that if you and I would have talked that very minute when we saw the – I feel like I would have said, yeah, it's got to be Goldschmidt now. He's the more Cardinal player. He's the easiest get. He makes the most financial sense. Like he is the Cardinals' wheelhouse. That's the best way I can put it.
And even today, even with news of the no window, you still think does it still feel Goldschmidt to you?
Yes, I do. And as a matter of fact, I would go as far as to say, and you brought up Brantley and Moustakas and a potential for that and all that. I feel like the Cardinals understand that, unless the price is reasonable for Harper, that for them, for a major upgrade, the one that they've been looking for at this point now with Donaldson off the market and what is perceived to be a very lackluster interest in Manny Machado, that yes, I think that they understand that it's probably Paul Goldschmidt or bust. And I think that changes how they go about it. And even the players that they're willing to throw in to make it happen.
Cause obviously, like I said earlier, I truly believe they're dealing from a position of what would be perceived strength. We have multiple guys. We almost have too many. If we do ship this guy out, that is a simple fix of dipping into the free agent, reliever market. So if we do trade a Dakota Hudson, who we had pegged for some tough innings, now let's go get a Familia or let's go get a whoever, right? I mean, that's how I see it. I would say this. I would love if they signed Goldschmidt. I'm going to say this. They 100% should still sign Harper. Can you imagine Bryce Harper batting second and Goldschmidt batting third and Ozuna batting fourth on this team?
Yeah, I think that's what we all want.
Okay.
From the get-go, think about how often much we talked about Donaldson and Harper. Yeah, that gives them even more financial flexibility to make it happen. I just don't have any faith that it would actually happen.
So again, I'm with you. See, here's the thing. I have a hard time sitting here going, It's hard enough to get them to bite the bullet on one. What you would, and again, you would term this risky because of the 1 year thing, right? If Paul Goldschmidt was signed to 3 more years, this wouldn't be risky. The problem is if he was signed to 3 more years, A, they may not be willing to trade him, and B, if they did, his price would be astronomical at this rate with what he's owed. So let's just say, so it is risky, just like signing a guy to a 10 or 12 year contract is risky because, you know, although I think it's less risky than people think it is, but whatever. So my point is, it just sounds to me like, I hate to say this, but I guess if I'm being realistic, I would love to see them go ahead and do the Goldschmidt thing because it seems realistic to me. But, man, I would love for them to go get Brantley because you know how this is going to go. If they don't go get Brantley, I can tell you right now, write it down, the lineup will be Carpenter, Fowler, Goldschmidt, Ozuna. You can write it down.
Absolutely.
You can write it down.
Yeah.
And they're going to look for that bounce back OBP out of Fowler in the two spot. And, again, as much as I don't like him and as much as I've never liked Fowler the player, I think the guy is a great guy, although you know, although there are some things there that I think I'm just not even going to go there. It's stupid. The truth of the matter, I mean, I know more than other people about a certain situation, but I'm just going to leave it where it is. The truth of the matter is this. I hope Dexter Fowler has a great season if he's a St. Louis Cardinal. And if he is not a St. Louis Cardinal and he is traded, I hope he has a great season because I think pretty much he's a great guy. Seems to be a great family guy. Seems to try to do a lot of great things for a lot of people. I think he handled one situation really poorly and a guy, and we know what we're talking about here, and a guy really got the raw end of the deal on that situation. I'm not saying the other, but I'm saying this. Other than that, from by all accounts, he's a tremendous human being, and I'm not even saying that makes him a bad human being because we all handle situations poorly in communication. That being said, I'm here to tell you, if he bats second and can get his OBP back where it is and Paul Goldschmidt's hitting third and Marcelo Ozuna's hitting fourth, we'll have a good year. And I will say that, and I will support him if he can get back to there. But I don't know that I'm willing to gamble on it, not when we ain't made the playoffs in 3 years.
Yeah, to me, it's the same conversation. Well, not the same, but it's a similar conversation with how Waino should be handled and how Fowler, if Fowler stays on the team and it is in the lineup, how it should be handled. Like, I'm okay with it. I understand the role. I get why he's there. I'll understand what, you know, the purpose in the lineup. But it's all, it comes down to Mr. Mike Schilt and how he handles it in season. Because, you know, if you're a month into the year, and even if the Cardinals are doing well, but Fowler is Dexter Fowler from 2018, there needs to be the hook on that. You know what I mean? And same thing with Adam Wainwright. Like, a lot of people were weird about the Cardinals re-signing Adam Wainwright. And even at that cheap price and the really well thought out contract that it was end up being at, like, I'm fine with it. I get it, whether it be as a starter or a reliever, more than likely it's a starter. I think we should all probably come to terms with that. But it comes down to how it's handled in season, and that'll fall on the shoulders of Mike Schilt. So, yeah, I'm just like you, man. I definitely believe that what will end up happening, if the Goldschmidt trade goes through, Carpenter will be a third every day, obviously, unless something crazy happens there. And Dexter Fowler will be penciled in the two spot, hitting and playing nearly every day, proving that he can do it or he can't do it. Just hopefully it has a quick hook if he can't.
Yeah, you know, and I want to say one last thing before we go. You know, when I said earlier, I don't want it to be taken the wrong way. I tremendously like – I know a lot of people that get into some quirky stuff with him. I love Derek Gould. I think he's great. I think he's really good. I love the way he reports the information. I just do. He follows the St. Louis Cardinals. I think people want him to be something he's not. He's not a guy. He's not Bernie Miklas. Anything he writes is not just purely opinion. This is coming from his conversations with them. So he's giving you, to the best of his knowledge, what he knows. Now, he's allowed to have an opinion, and he injects it, and he's allowed to ask questions because that's how this thing works. Some people don't like the questions that he asks or don't think he does it. I disagree. I've heard him do it. There's a respectful way to do it, and nobody. If you should know this, no, you can't sit there and berate somebody and ever expect them to be good to you. It's just not going to happen, right? Like, they don't owe it to you no matter what you think. Therefore, I think he's great, and I really like him. The same thing about Rick Hummel. Rick Hummel obviously is who he is. All I was saying earlier was no organization would be worth their salt if they went and told people what they were doing because, what? It's their job to report facts. It doesn't do any good to report what you're willing to do because now you showed your hand. Okay.
Yeah.
My guess is that these guys know things they never say. Because I've said it once, I'll say it again. If they know so much, how come? And I don't mean this in a bad way. I mean this in a respectful way. You don't ever see Derek Gould or Rick Hummel say, here's the rumor and this is going to happen. You don't ever see that, right?
Yeah.
Do you? I don't. Yeah. I've never seen them say.
No, hell no. That's,
yeah. Okay. So I wanted to say that because I didn't want that to be taken wrong as I was saying these guys are horseshit because they're not. That being said, for everybody, Derek Gould just sent something out that I guess he just wrote something saying, and I like this, and I don't know what your thought is. It sure seems like the St. Louis Cardinals are pushing for an answer here because they do not want to wait around. I think that bodes well for the St. Louis Cardinals fans.
Good. Yeah, I do too. And, you know, the Cardinals have been entering this week. And, again, sometimes what's said on Sunday is forgotten by Wednesday. But, you know, Mr. Gould wrote the article on either Sunday that came out on Monday or in that little time frame that said that the Cardinals wanted to have momentum going into this, you know, starting on Sunday, the winter meetings on Sunday with a resolution by the end of the winter meetings. And everything so far this week has tracked along those lines. You know, winter meetings start on the 9th. They start on Sunday. Now, Sunday is usually just to get in your hotel, you know, do a rail of cocaine and then go talk to an agent. But, you know, with the Rule 5 happening on the 13th. But this is building exactly how Mr. Gould reported and all that stuff. And to what you're saying earlier, yes, it definitely came across that way. Like, you shouldn't be worried about it. And you're right. What makes someone like Mr. Gould so damn, like, for me, like, have such a large level of respect for him that maybe no other, like, I do not give any other local journalist, is the fact that there's no speculation. Very little. The only time he's ever speculative is when he's on the radio or somebody asks his opinion and the questions, like the live chat on Post-Dispatch. Like, that is true professionalism. That's what separates someone who is as amazing as Derek Gould is from a clown like myself who literally just made a comment about snorting rails in Vegas.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, you know what? Craig Mish was that way last year, I was telling people. When he was telling people things, I said, people were like, da-da-da. And I said, let me tell you something. Here's a guy that knows a lot more than he's saying. And, like, people would ask him questions, and he would say, not that I can answer. That means he knows something, but he's not going to tell you because it's not factual. He only knows what he's heard and what he's been led to believe. But if it's not factual, he's just giving you an opinion. And I think people need to understand it. And I do believe... And I don't mean, listen, whatever. I think that some people are very upfront with that and want you to know it. I think there's a lot of people out there that would like you to believe that when they're giving you opinion that they have some sort of fact in there and they have something to sell you. And that's just my opinion.
I think you're dead on.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like Prospects After Dark or Bow Ties and Bullshit. We got something to sell you here, a little bullshit. So, anyway, man, I really enjoy doing the show with you. I'm sure you got to get back to work. We've been on here for a while yakking. You're a busy man. Before you get out of here, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at KYLER416. I write for Birds on the Black. Last week we did our organizational rankings, you know, position-wise, top 10 starting pitchers, top 10 outfielders, top 5 at every other position. And it was great. We had great reception, a ton of views. It worked out amazing. They're beautiful articles. Get to know some of the prospects, click on them, and see the gifts in there because each prospect has a gift, at least one. Some of the younger prospects have two because I wanted you to see what they look like. Check that out at Birds on the Black. And this Sunday at 8 o'clock, I believe we're going to do it on Sunday. It might be Monday. We'll do Prospects After Dark. You can find it on Periscope. You can find it on Twitter through my Twitter page or the Birds on the Black or Cardinals Gifts Twitter page. And this one's a little special because technically – December 10th is the one-year anniversary of Prospects After Dark. And I doubt we'll do anything special. I mean, I should probably take off work on Monday because I'll probably be just hammered. But it'll be probably a celebratory event. And come Sunday, we might have more to celebrate than just the one-year anniversary of PAD. We probably have some type of roster transaction probably knocking on the door if it hasn't already happened. So we're a fancy little, funny little family, and feel free to be a part of it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you do a great job. I know the fans love you. We like having you on here. I'm going to let you get out of here. I will plan on chatting with you next week. Hopefully this time next week things are heating up. But they call it the hot stove for a reason, right?
Yeah. That I'm telling you, this that these 4 days in Vegas I think are going to be pretty intense. And not just for the Cardinals, but for baseball. And I think the winter meetings, I think we're in for a treat as baseball fans.
Well, I can tell you it's just at least it's nice to hear us involved. But then again, we've been involved before to no avail. But I would disagree. We've done things. People just don't like what we've done. So, you know, hey, I get it. And that's fine. Hey, everybody, this is the opinion part of this, right? I don't like it. I don't like what we've done. Okay, I get it. No problem. Appreciate you, my man. Good stuff as always, and I'll plan on seeing you next Wednesday.
It's always a pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
All right, that's my man, Kyle Reese. Don't forget his Prospects After Dark and to follow him at his social media sites. He's tremendous. I love it. I could literally talk baseball with him all day long. I mean, he's awesome. Even if I don't agree with what he's saying, I just love the conversation with him. I mean, it's just a lot of matter of fact stuff. You know, it's like, hey, listen, I mean, you know, you don't like it. You know, I think it's great. And this is the fun part for me. And that's kind of what I was saying. I was kind of like doing the whole setup earlier for like, hey, listen, don't take this so serious. I mean, I take everything with a grain of salt. I saw Brendan Schaefer get railroaded last night because somebody had asked him about a rumor he heard. And he says, well, listen, I'm just being honest. Are you going to take that as a reputable account? I mean, I'm not saying they're not, but what have they ever done to lead you to believe that? And again, people might have some inside information, I guess. I find it odd. But, hey, listen, you never know when somebody's grandma's nephew's brother is actually the guy that does this, you know. But I will say this. I happen to know some people involved in organizations and things like that and people that should know things. And it always kills me how I know a few of these people, and yet I've never once ever heard them ever say to me, hey, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell anybody. You know, I have a cousin that's a AAA coach for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He has told me things, and then there's been times he said, I can't discuss that. Or, you know what, nah. But and if he tells me something, I know it's something that it's not a big deal if he talks about. I know I've had off-the-air conversations with people that follow teams, and they will say, and I'll have my own conversation with them and say, hey, listen, I'm off the record. Oh, like Craig Mish last year. I can't tell you how many off the record conversations we had. I was talking to him almost 5 times a day, by text. I would ask him questions. Hey, off the record, what do you hear? Nothing more than I've reported. You know, I know things, but I can't discuss them because, and that is as honest as you can be. So my point is, who are the people that are going, hey, I'm going to tell you something. Who are the people that are really seriously involved in this stuff and are going, hey, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell anybody? Know what I mean? Benji doesn't even like to do that. He is adamantly against that. You know, I just find it odd. So again, back to full circle, it sure sounds to me like, and I think this is the fun part, and this is what I really want to say. As a fan, or as anybody, I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to identify when your team has issues, okay? Now, your opinion, which comes at the back end of this, can also influence what you think issues are. Like a lot of fans just don't like Matt Carpenter, so they think he is an issue. But they can also make arguments for why he is. And then you got the faction that love him and will tell you, well, have you looked at this? Very few people look at it and go, okay, let's really look at it. I don't really give a shit one way or the other, but let's really look at it and decide if he's an issue or not. Maybe he is. Maybe he is not. Maybe you're just done with a guy. Maybe the things that you can't put in analytics are an issue. I don't know, right? We're not there. We're not in the clubhouse, right? We don't know these things. By the time you do all that stuff, and then you got to add in, okay, well, what's our club's reputation? Well, the St. Louis Cardinals' reputation is that they're a bridesmaid for big players, right? Right? So if you were to go on past performance, just really over the last however many years, doesn't the Paul Goldschmidt thing sound cardinalish to you? It does to me. Trade for a guy who's going to be a free agent, try to get him to sign here. Now, they've had one. Now, here's what kills me about this. Oh, well, it's over. You can't do that anymore. It's happened to one guy. We have had one guy. Think about that for a minute. One guy that we have traded for that we really wanted to re-sign, which we got lucky and didn't, that said, I'm going to go here instead. One guy that I'm aware of. So, I don't know. I find it interesting why all of a sudden that's not acceptable. But we shall see. I don't know. It's interesting. You know, the Stanton thing, I think, really cast an unfair shadow on an organization as a whole. Was it disturbing to anybody that's a Cardinal fan that he wouldn't want to come here and play where we think is one of the best places to play baseball? Of course that's majorly disturbing. But the reality of it is you're talking about a guy that wanted a specific type of environment, and that's just not us, and it doesn't matter. And he had all this leverage and pull. And it isn't like – see, the difference would have been if Stanton would have said, I'm going to go here because I don't care about winning. Okay? He actually had the ability to go to a place that he wanted to go and is historically competing, has historically shown that they're going to spend whatever they got to spend to win, the glitz, the glamour, the opportunities for endorsements. That's who he is. That's what he is. That's becoming more prevalent in all sports too, by the way. If that's not a baseball thing, that's not a St. Louis thing. Okay, that's becoming prevalent in all sports. So anyway, enjoyed the conversation today. Just spitball stuff, because let's face it. I mean, what else are we going to talk about? We got a bunch of rumors. We got a bunch of hee-hawing around. We got a bunch of maybes. We got a bunch of this. Got a bunch of that. We see other teams making improvements. Maybe. I mean, we think they are, right? I mean, we think Philadelphia got better with Segura. You know, we think the Mets got better by getting Cano and Diaz, although some people would argue about the Cano thing. A friend of mine is the pitching guy with Seattle. They loved the trade. I know that for a fact. They didn't like getting rid of Diaz, and they loved Robinson Cano, but from an organizational standpoint, you know, getting prospects like that when you look at your window changing, I mean, they loved what they got. So, interesting, of course. I just find the whole thing wonderful. Wonderful to just speculate and enjoy. So I hope you guys do as well. Want to thank Kyle Reese for joining me today and spending the extra time filling in for the guys. Hope you guys are enjoying the format here with Bow Ties and Bullshit. Don't forget to find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. Like us, like our Twitter page. If you're a Cardinal fan, you follow us. We're going to follow you back. Find us at twobirdsonabatpodcast.com. Love to have you guys part of the subscription network that gets the show when it comes out on your mobile device. It's real easy to do, or however you want to subscribe. It'll walk you through it. It takes about 30 seconds. Don't forget Facebook. Type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page. Click invite your friends. Love to have you guys part of that as well. Find the pinned post. Make sure you've liked it, commented on it, and shared it. There's usually about 3 a week. If you've done that, each time you do it, you're eligible for the off-season autograph memorabilia that we're giving out to all of our loyal listeners. You can also find us on Instagram, Two Birds and a Bat Show, and as part of lineupmedia.fm's podcast network. Also home now to the streaming platform, Yo Radio. Download it for free on your mobile device. You'll enjoy it, I promise you. Special thanks to our partners, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, home of the Missouri Gators, the Illinois Gators, and, of course, the Gators Baseball Academy. They've got all their camps going on right now. They've got clinics. They've got classes, infield, catchers, hitting labs, all types of things to help your player become better. Their four-pillar system is second to none, and they take who they put in front of your son or daughter very seriously. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. It's right around lunchtime. Get out there. Well, right now it is. Tonight it'll be open till 7. Our friends at Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. Don't forget, they are now delivering to certain area codes. Give them a call. I can't tell you how good the barbecue is. You need to try it for yourself, and you'll love it. We get so many comments back from listeners saying thanks for turning me on to it. It's tremendous. That's Adam's Smokehouse on Watson Road, open till 7, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Don't forget your catering needs for the holidays. My man Mike over there will take care of you. InnovativeCompanies.com. Randy, thank you for your continued support. You're a tremendous dude. I'm still one of the guys I respect because, like I always say, man, if you look this guy in the eye and he shakes your hand, tells you he's going to do something, it's getting done. That's Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. He's got you covered. To all of our Facebook groups, thank you for your continued support. That's RileySquirrel.com. Nate McHenry, of course. Mick Light with Art City Media has always been tremendous. You know, and it's amazing. I keep bringing these guys up, Cardinals 24/7, but these are the kind of guys they are. You know, they listen to the shows, and, you know, I admittedly don't have a lot of time to listen to other people's podcasts, unfortunately, unless I get time. I mean, I've got 85 things going on. But, you know, these guys listen to our show, and they send, hey, man, thanks for bringing it. And it's like, man, you don't have to thank me. I truly enjoy what you guys are doing. I really do. So Gino, Crash, Ron, Chris, Lawless, you guys – you know, like I said, meeting you guys and becoming a part with you guys has been amazing. You guys are totally great at what you do. And I'm telling you guys, if you're not checking them out, it's, you know, it's never been easier to do. Just make sure you check out the Cardinals Nation 24/7 network. They're awesome. Great stuff as always. to my girls, Vicky and Linda, with I Am a Cardinal Fan. Yes, I am. And, of course, fans of Yadier Molina, thank you so much for your continued support. The St. Louis Cardinals crew group, thank you. You guys are awesome. Cardinal Freak, STL Cardinals, you know, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, all the great Facebook groups out there, second to none. Thanks for doing what you do. This is Jim Cromer from Two Birds on a Bat, signing out for Bow Ties and Bullshit, where analytics meet the eye test.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.